Auto Trim Design is your one-stop shop for all your vehicle accessory needs, located at 2550 South Cushman Street under the huge American flag. Stop in or give us a call at 456-8400. Customized by Auto
Trim Design. The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Welcome, listeners. You're here with Chuck Indereeden at Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, the Golden Heart. It is now, I think, like 32 degrees out. It was pretty warm as I was walking around out there, which is one of the scary things. We're supposed to get like some mixed precipitation. Hey, but check this out. It is still kind of dark at times, right? So just because that sun kind of sticks its little nose out behind some cloud doesn't mean you don't need to like turn your freaking headlights on. Do that. It helps. Like, especially when people are like driving along and then they see this gap between two cars and it's you without your headlights on. They think they can just pull out and then wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. All of a sudden you're in a crash. Yeah. So help out your fellow Alaskans and make sure we drive with our headlights on. And when it's snowing and you have a white car, how about that? That might be a clue. Drive with your headlights on. So today's theme is not headlights. It is firearms with and other great stuff because we have guests today. As always, we have Cindy in the studio. We have Matt in the studio. So Miss Boise Bell is like being rambunctious and like all fired up and ready to talk, I think.
I am back. Missing the warm weather in Texas, but they had a cold front come through.
You probably took it down there with you.
I left it. I left it.
How's life going, Matt?
It is going great. I am excited to even be alive. People are complaining that the winter hasn't started here yet. I could care less. So, I'm loving every single day up here.
Amen.
Yeah. And nobody cares.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So, anywho, we have our special guest today. It is Captain Eric Spitzer, Commander of D Detachment of the Alaska State Troopers. We're going to be talking about some firearms things. We're going to be talking about some community events that are going on with the Alaska State Troopers. So make sure you stay dialed in on this. As always, remember, you can always listen to us at 97.5 FM, 660 AM. And guess what? You can always listen to us live at KFARradio.com with that big orange ball that says listen live. Click on it. It's amazing. It's science. It's not witchcraft, so don't get scared. CIA is not tracking you. But they might be tracking you if you use a KFAR app, right? Which you can also use to listen to the show as always. Even if you're in those remote places listening with your Starlink and you're in BFE, Alaska, you can always listen to Shooter's Corner every Thursday. So let's get the show started. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. My editorial for today, my commentary, I've like seriously shredded this thing down a little bit, but I want to get this in before we actually get into the rest of the program. And I think it's relevant to what's going on in our society today in regards to our Second Amendment. So let's begin. In the realm of the Second Amendment advocacy, few developments are as insidious and constitutionally egregious as the recent wave of lawsuits launched by Democratic-led states against firearms manufacturers like Glock and Sig Sauer. These maneuvers aren't about justice. They're a calculated ploy to impose gun control via judicial overreach, bypassing democracy and eroding our core rights. On Shooter's Corner, we call it out. It's a tyrannical attack on liberty masked as public safety. Take the assault on Glock, whose pistols are trusted by citizens, cops, and troops. Democratic AGs in Minnesota and New Jersey sue over deceptive practices, claiming Glock should redesign the block. They literally need to redesign the rubber slide to block the use of illegal Glock switches that turn semi-autos into automatics. Baltimore and Maryland pile on, blaming designs for enabling crime. This is nonsense. Suing makers for criminal mods or modifications is like blaming car companies for souped-up getaway vehicles or hammer firms for assaults, right? I've talked about this before. Like, if you take a tool and use it as it's not designed, That's not the manufacturer's fault. That's your criminal in whatever, your mind. Okay. This ignores lawbreakers and guts industries under the guise of criminal or crime prevention. The hypocrisy ramps up with Sig Sauer and its P320. New Jersey Democrats litigate over alleged accidental discharges. We've talked about that quite a bit on the show as well. I mean, literally, Sig did create three new words, right? There was the inattentional or unintentional discharge, the negligent discharge, and now the uncommanded discharge, right?
What are they going to come up with next week?
Who knows? But it isn't about liability. It's an anti-gun agenda to tank confidence, hike costs via lawsuits, and limit access. Gun control by bankruptcy, that is actually a thing. Dodging debates where pro-2A voices win. This fits a pattern. New York's public nuisance law opens the industry to suits for illegal use, while California bans Glock-style guns, sparking NRA countersuits. Democrats, unable to repeal the Second Amendment, turn to lawfare, courts as weapons. It threatens makers and stifles innovation from litigation fears. Republicans and 2A defenders or 2A defenders aren't idle. In New Hampshire, GOP lawmakers passed a 2025 law giving Sig Sauer partial immunity on the P320 suits, and it was signed by their governor to shield a major employer from frivolous claims. This counters New Jersey's attacks head-on. Against Glock suits from blue states, the NRA sued California in October 25 over its unconstitutional ban, while pro-gun groups blast it as lawfare, probing White House ties to activists. GOP filibusters and statements decry these as assaults on rights through bipartisanship exist on banning switches. And it's true. A lot of states, believe it or not, it's funny though. A lot of states put a ban on Glock switches. Dude, they're already federally illegal anyways. And it's also federally illegal to take a semi-automatic and convert it to a machine gun without the tax stamp and all the approval through the ATF. I don't know what they're thinking. It literally just makes people feel good. Some politician gets on a bandwagon and goes, I'm going to ban Glock switches. Oh, look at me. I'm so great. Vote for me. Dude, they were illegal anyways. Knock it off. Overall, it's a firm stand against ideological predation. Fellow shooters, this is a clarion call to action. These lawsuits are a direct affront to the principle that the right to keep bear arms shall not be infringed. They empower unelected judges and activist attorneys to dictate policies sidelining the will of the people. We must support counter efforts, lobby for federal protections against such predatory suits, and vote out those who prioritize control over freedom. The Second Amendment is not a suggestion. It is a safeguard against tyranny. Let us defend it fiercely, lest we find ourselves disarmed in the face of real threats. And I've said this before. If the law enforcement and military are the only ones that have weapons, you no longer have a free society.
That's true.
Look at like Venezuela and some of these other countries already, right?
Yep.
So this week in firearms history, let's get this real quick before we have to go into our first break. October 28th of 1890, John Browning patented the first pump action shotgun. This was a big deal. This was like their trench clearing device that they used in World War I.
Right. That is a big deal.
I don't know if you ever Googled it, but go look at that old trench. Had the exposed hammer, all that stuff. That was a pretty bad gun. Super cool. And then also, check it out, the M3 grease gun. I have big feeling about the M3 grease gun. I've actually shot these. When I joined the Army in 1982, I know that really dates myself, because even Captain, were you even born then? Like, but anyways, I made myself really old. The M3 grease gun, because it looked like a grease gun. It had literally like a tube barrel that like you could probably stick on a grease fitting. And guess who carried them in our unit?
You?
The mechanics.
Yep. Oh, you didn't?
Mechanics. No, the mechanics did. Oh. So they were issued to the tankers and to the M88 drivers and the guys who drove like recovery vehicles and stuff like that, because they would go up on the front lines. But the M3, or submachine gun, nicknamed the grease gun, entered the full military service. It was 45 ACP. Shot 600 rounds per minute with a 30-round magazine. It had a collapsible wire stock, and it was literally just stamped steel construction.
Hmm.
And it's pretty cool because you unscrewed the front of it to take the barrel off, and then the whole like bolt carrier group would all come out as like one contraption.
Well, don't even forget the safety was just the dust cover being down. That was it.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. It was the simplest. I still think.
And you
rack
a slide
things.
On it by just pushing your thumb in
yeah,
there.
You
almost like
thumb
a,
in that little
almost
dimple.
Like the Stoner design was originally made for the M16. Yeah. So it replaced the expensive Thompson machine gun, and over 600,000 of these things were built.
That was
like,
from
I don't
World
know what
War
happened
II.
To them, because I'd really like to get a hold of one. Like, I looked on gunbroker.com just to see, and, like, there's not a lot of them out there.
No, you're usually getting these things. Obviously, it's a it would have to be, like, a pre-band transfer. But I've seen them. When I see people actually purchase them, you're looking over $120,000, $130,000 just for, like, a really rough condition.
Yeah, they're not high quality at all.
No, no.
I mean,
and now we know why Chuck doesn't have one.
We'll buy
it. He's spent $120,000 on.
I'll buy a sports car.
When someone's shooting them, you can hear it. It's like the rate of fire is very slow.
Yeah, it's like insane.
I mean, it's full auto, but, man, it's not like you're not getting – there's a definite difference between 800 or 900 rounds a minute and 600 rounds a minute.
Yeah, next week we want to talk about the MG42, which was 1,200 rounds per minute. It was like, it sounded like a freaking A10.
It was fast.
Yeah. All right, we have to go into our first break. Hey, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Captain Eric Spitzer with the D Detachment of the Alaska State Troopers. We talk about recruitment, firearms training, and the upcoming food drive and community events. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here with Chuck at Shooter's Corner.
Auto Trim Design has a variety of CompuStar remote starts available that are compatible with Drone Mobile, giving you the option to start your vehicle from your smart device. Ask about their proximity unlock feature that lets you unlock your vehicle as you walk up to it. No more searching for your keys while you're juggling groceries or school supplies. Auto Trim Design has been installing remote starts for almost 30 years. They're reliable, trustworthy, and stand by their work. As Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Hey, North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 37. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 28. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy tomorrow. Slight chance for mixed precipitation. High temperatures reach up to 37. That's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Miss Boise Bell, and Matt here in the studios at Fairbanks, Alaska. Once again, if you've ever missed part of our show or your past shows, always go to our archives at kfarradio.com. Scroll down on the right-hand side. You'll see that link that says Shooter's Corner with Chuck and Reed. And click on it. Scroll down past my bio, and there's the archives. Imagine that. But you can also listen live as well with the KFAR app that you can find at the Apple Store and the Google Store, and also at 97.5, 660 AM. And let's get ready to start with our guest today, Captain Eric Spitzers.
Good morning.
What are you doing, Vanna?
It's right here on the TV. We have a TV screen I never noticed in here before.
You know what? That's the first time I noticed it, too. I never noticed it on.
Me neither.
All right. So anyways,
all right.
Squirrel.
Squirrel.
All right. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see.
So do you like to take walks on warm beaches and stuff?
let's see. Originally from Pennsylvania, joined the Marine Corps, was in the Marines for 10 years, did embassy duty, was a motivational speaker, Paris Island as a drill instructor. Joined the troopers in 2000.
I like that motivational speaker.
joined the troopers in 2000. Worked undercover. I was a tier one fire instructor at the academy, K-9 handler, SWAT guy, explosive breaching, DEA task force officer. I was the director of our criminal intelligence center before coming here to Fairbanks. And then now I'm here in Fairbanks. Worked at our academy teaching firearms, use of force, defensive tactics, emergency vehicle operations, stuff like that. So,
yeah, I think that's where I first met you.
We were at firearm school. Yeah. We should talk about that.
We are. We are. Okay. So that's one of the reasons. Well, there's multiple reasons why. One, I want you to be able to get the message out about what the Alaska State Troopers do for our community.
Oh, yeah.
That's the priority today.
Yeah.
But I always need to go full circle back to Shooter's Corner. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the Academy. And I know that you probably, I think you were down there, what, 5-6 years?
Dude, I was there from 2011 to 2018.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So a while.
A while, yeah.
I went to Idaho public school system, so my math's a little off.
So. 8 years or something.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be wrong. All right, so anyways, Cindy's like glaring at me right now.
I'm not glaring.
You went to the same public school system I did, Cindy.
I did, but not to the same school.
All right, mom and dad.
It's Papa to you.
Yeah, sorry, Papa.
Anywho, what are some of the things that you noticed about shooters or troopers that are coming in that you're trying to transition or train them to be gun operators?
Well, if you want to just call it that. I think one of the highlights, I mean, beyond the basics, I mean, you know, to master something, you have to, you know, master the basics to be an expert. But what I think is super important is once we get that basic skill set to the troopers, then taking it up a notch and going to those unusual shooting positions, shooting moving targets on the move, shooting from in, around, and above and around around vehicles, low light shooting, all that stuff. Like, I mean, so first you need the skill set. You need to be able to put rounds on target reasonably and to do it safely.
And so for some of those people, it's even a challenge just getting out of the holster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, you're dealing with, you got
people that have never touched a gun in their life.
Yeah, you have the full spectrum of people. Same thing goes with driving. And you have people that show up at the academy to be troopers, and, like, they're not good drivers at all. Some of them came from, you know, out of state, and they've never driven in snow. But with shooters, like, you have the full spectrum. You have guys that are, like, top tier. We have, like, former Navy SEALs.
Right.
Former, you know, Marine Recon guys, all kinds of special operations folks. And then you have somebody who's not even been involved in exposed to firearms hardly at all in their life. So you have to, you know, start with the basics.
And you're homeschooled on a commune.
Mm-hmm. You got some guys that, man, they, you know, it's crawl, walk, run. Right. And some folks are just, they're coming in already. Some of them have bad habits from the military. So you got all aspects, all parts of the spectrum there. And, but what I think is awesome is when they leave there, they have got a skill set. I mean, when you look at the first day one of their training and then their final, you know,
qualification.
Yeah. The final, well, not just qualification, but the final, like, you know, when we do that big shoot drill at the end of advanced, firearms, advanced handgun.
Right.
And they're like moving through and, it's like that obstacle course what they do, and shooting from under cars and inside cars and around cars, different shooting positions and shooting moving targets while they're moving themselves, and then that low light stuff. Man, it's impressive how far they come. And if there's anyone out there, which, by the way, who's interested in becoming an Alaska State Trooper, man, 1979, Pegger Road, stop in there. We are constantly mentoring folks to get them on board. To be Alaska State Troopers. I mean, there's never been a better time than right now. If you're interested in becoming an Alaska State Trooper, find any trooper in uniform, express your desire to be a trooper, and you can be part of this thing. It's awesome. I can't imagine. I don't know. I don't know what I'd be doing in life. Maybe demolition or something like that. I don't know, a demolition company, but I love being a state trooper. It's an awesome job. You get to help people out and be around firearms, drive fast, shoot guns, put bad guys in jail. It's awesome.
All right, back to the academy thing real quick.
Oh, yeah, academy.
Right. No, you're good. How many hours of training would you say that they get just for firearms?
Is it 40, just 60, in firearms? 80? Oh, boy. Man, I'd have to go back and I it's literally...
I'm curious. It's like, here's the reason why.
It's in the hundreds. It's definitely in the hundreds.
Got to be in the hundreds.
Yeah.
If you look at all three gun systems that we use.
Oh, yeah. Shotgun,
so we
rifle.
Have the shotgun.
Handgun.
The Remington 870, which we still have.
Low light training. And if you're including use of force training for the practicals and whatnot.
Correct. Where a firearm could be introduced as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd say hundreds of hours.
What's the hit ratio for law enforcement generally, statistically, federally? It's only like 12 to 15%. And that's nationally. That's not saying that the Alaska State Troopers suck at shooting.
Yeah.
But nationally, I would say a lot of people are, You know, and it's not any different than the armed citizen themselves. Like, they see bad guy has a gun, bad guy threatened to kill them or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
They draw a gun out, and they're just, more than anything, brain is saying, hey, stop bad guy. And so they end up, like, multiple trigger presses. I mean, nationally, I would say that there's some departments that probably don't put the same amount of training but that the Alaska State Troopers do.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah.
the point I'm trying to make is just because somebody says that they're law enforcement, much like you alluded to earlier, much like somebody says, I got 20 years in the Air Force or the Coast Guard or the Army, doesn't make them proficient at a firearm either.
Right, right. I'll tell you one thing that I think may skew some of those stats is that when you have a gunfight with vehicles involved, there's a lot more rounds fired because people are like hiding behind a vehicle and there's like more extended exchange of fire. You know what I'm saying?
I love what you just said because now we're not on a flat range. A whole bunch of other data is now being fed into your brain.
Yeah, right.
Like the backstops and vehicles and other people, civilians.
Man, we had an incident on 252 of the Parks Highway in 2023.
Right.
Rolling shootout. Bad guys shooting at us.
Out of his
vehicle, and we got troopers returning fire with a shotgun through their own windshield at a moving vehicle.
By the way, that video is online.
Yep,
and it is freaking awesome.
It is awesome. I'm a big fan. Big fan of it. That's Trevor Norris.
The fact that the federal premium flight control WAD maintains that shot pattern at that distance and is only hitting the driver and not the passenger.
Yeah.
Is absolutely phenomenal to me.
That blows my mind to hear that a shotgun was doing that because just, I think it was 2 days ago, I want to say it was an Oklahoma PD officer was trying to stop this guy, getting him out of his car. Guy takes off, leads to a whole chase. Officer gets out of his vehicle and the guy tries to run over another cop. Officer pulls out his firearm, Glock. He's got Surefire and an Aimpoint Acheron there, right? So you're looking at it, and it doesn't look department issued. But you'd think, oh, maybe he has some training behind that. Hopefully he's not just like the random cops that everyone makes fun of online. He was probably within 7 feet, fired 21 rounds, reloaded, fired another 7, didn't hit the driver once. Didn't do a single thing.
No, and the guy, what skews our stats.
Yeah, that's what skews it. But then the crazy part is the guy just put his hands out the window and said, I give up. Like, I'm sorry, and got out. So that officer tried to stop
the threat, guy who, like, shot his firearm because a squirrel dropped an acorn on his car.
Oh, yep. Taking fire. He said he was hit.
That kind of skews our stats, too.
Yeah. Not a good look.
I'll give you an example. There was a officer-involved shooting out in Dillingham. This was like, I don't know, like 7 years, maybe 6, 7 years ago or something. And we went out there as a SWAT team. Dillingham PD and troopers. There was a guy in a vehicle, and he had a bunch of stuff in the back of the vehicle, and there was an exchange of gunfire there. A lot of rounds. And the type of ammunition that we're shooting, the soft point PSP,
right?
Those don't do well through. They're designed for human anatomy, not for going through cars. Now, shotgun slug, that's what you want to use if you want to penetrate vehicles.
Yeah, that Brennecke.
Oh yeah,
nice.
Yes, very good.
All right, so cool. We have to. What timeline do I have? 3 minutes. Oh, yeah. We'll still continue to talk about this then.
Yeah.
Okay. It's in our military. Like, we teach a lot of civilian classes and stuff like that. One of the things we had the other day, and Matt can attest to this, was a guy was press checking his handgun and had his, you know, he had to do that forward press check.
Right.
Which, in case you guys don't know, is the reason why a lot of companies put the front serrations on there, is so cool guys can do press checks from the front. And he did that while, flagging his pinky the whole time.
Yep.
And we're like, dude, stop doing that. I'm not doing that. I took a picture of it.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I guess I am.
Uh-huh.
It was so, like, subconscious to him. Like, he didn't even realize that he was doing this.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, here's your problem. If you're involved in some type of significant emotional event, and your brain transitions from a prefrontal cortex to your amygdala, now you're just working on rote motor skills, right? Like, literally, how you train is how you're now fighting.
Yeah.
And you got done with a fight, and you press check that gun with your pinky in there, and your finger's still on the trigger. Let me know how that works for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I've seen it, too.
I mean, it's not going to be life-threatening, but it's going to be life-changing.
Yeah.
Not as much as a thumb, because I don't think we can pick up stuff with thumbs. If we're missing a thumb, like, I can't pick up anything. Like, I'm not like a sloth or something.
Well, then you go into a situation where there's a lot of adrenaline going. A person's getting into an unusual shooting position, and they'll flag their entire arm or their hand.
Like getting in the prone.
Getting in the prone position. Like, dude, like, and if you're doing that in training, that's going to transfer right over. You're going to follow your lowest level of training in a real situation. And if you're flagged yourself in training or flagged your thumb in training, you're definitely going to do it in real life.
I love hearing that because so many people argue, no, I won't. Like, it's a bad training habit, but I won't act like that in real life.
No.
And that's the other thing, too, because you brought it up, Chuck, with the military aspect. And I've seen a lot of instructors out there that only talk about their time in the military or what kind of law enforcement they were doing or something like that. And then you watch how they perform and they suck, but people buy into it because they have, you know, a little rap sheet. Yeah. And that's the thing is not, and you bring it up all the time, Chuck, you always talk about vetting your instructors, understanding what they're doing, what their background is and how they actually perform, the why. And that's what I feel like a lot of people don't do. They don't see that. They just hear, you know, the Tim Kennedy, Special Forces, Green Beret, Sniper, Army SEAL, whatever.
Yeah.
And
Stolen Valor.
And Stolen Valor. Yeah, don't worry about that. It's a whole other topic. No, but that's what gets people in the wrong classes. They're spending money on horrible skills, and then they go to implement that, and they can injure themselves or
And they buy the most expensive equipment, and they steal.
Because that's how it works. Yeah. Like, that's how it works with my golf game.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let me go.
Somebody swing.
$500
club. Yeah. All right, we got to go into our mandatory half hour break. We'll be right back here, Shooter's Corner with Captain Eric Spitzer with the Alaska State Troopers. Stay tuned with us.
Well, we see it from.
Broadcasting from the Satellite West studio, you're listening to KFAR 97.5 FM, 660.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. It's day 30 of the government shutdown. Many Americans expected to feel the financial strain as food stamp or SNAP benefits are set to run out on Saturday. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Republicans have refused to do anything. They've sat in their hands, stuck their heads in the sand, and now families, millions of families from one end of America to the other, mostly actually in red states, face the specter of financial disaster.
Republicans blame Senate Democrats for repeatedly blocking a clean spending bill. Democrats argue any deal to reopen the government needs to include an extension of Obamacare subsidies. The lights are coming back on in storm-ravaged Jamaica.
Over 52,000 customers were restored over the last 24 hours.
Errol Vaz is the Minister of Telecommunications and Transportation in Jamaica. Hurricane Melissa making landfall as a Category 5 storm this week. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchor's Daily News reports President Donald Trump has signaled he plans to nominate Aaron Christian Peterson, a longtime state natural resources attorney and former prosecutor, to one of Alaska's long vacant federal judicial seats. Trump has not made any formal nomination of Peterson to the position, but forwarded judicial candidate materials for Peterson to the Senate Judiciary Committee, according to a spokesperson for the committee's chair, Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. The committee considers judicial nominations. Trump has recently forwarded materials from candidates before formally announcing the nominations. If confirmed, Peterson would take one of two vacant roles for U.S. District Court judges for Alaska. Chief U.S. District Judge Sharon L. Gleason is the state's only active full-time federal judge. The last person nominated and confirmed as a judge, Joshua Kindred, resigned in disgrace in 2024 after a Ninth Circuit investigation found he'd made sexual advances toward a law clerk and a federal prosecutor, among other misconduct.
Online at KFAR60.com.
Who turned out the lights? It's lighting season in Alaska, and you don't want to be left in the dark. At Auto Trim Design, we carry a wide variety of Moose lights from Vision X and Baja Designs, Tiny Monster LED headlights, and backup lighting to keep your path bright. Your safety is important to us. Drive with clarity and peace of mind with Moose lights professionally installed. Stop by Auto Trim Design today and let us design the right package that fits your needs. Auto Trim Design's philosophy hasn't changed in over 40 years. We treat every customer the Alaska way, with honesty, integrity, and respect.
Hey North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
Ride into winter with a friend. Your Snowway snowplow. Snowway plows are stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Their wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer on Dale Road near the airport, or call 479-6665.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Shooter's Corner. We got Smith, Cindy, Matt, and Captain Eric Spitzer, the commander of D Detachment here for the Alaska State Troopers. And we just finished up talking about firearms and training at the academy. Well, we talked about a plethora of stuff. But what I'd like to get into now is I want to dedicate a whole 15 minutes to community. Let's talk about recruitment. We kind of alluded to this a little bit.
Yeah.
And let me kind of preload this a little bit. So every Monday, you go over to Fort Wainwright.
Yep.
And talk to soldiers who are basically ACAPing out or like doing that Army Assistance Training Transition.
Yeah, I think it's called TAP, Transition Assistance Program.
Yeah, okay. They change the acronyms every 5 years. You know, so GS-13 can get a pay raise.
Yeah, it's fertile ground over there because think about this. They are, or should at least hopefully be, highly disciplined, physically fit, basically trained, understand how to chain of command works, how to wear a uniform, customs and courtesies, how to follow simple instructions. And they've got firearms training, and they've got some a skill set, a specific skill set, whether it's, I don't know if they're a cook, baker, candlestick maker, I don't know what, but they have a job skill. They've got leadership training, despite whether you're like top of the chain or like somewhere in between. They got leadership training. Many of them have got combat experience. Many of them, have served in, Afghanistan, Iraq, or wherever. They're coming back and they're looking to transition from one tribe into another tribe. And I'll tell you what, being former, you're what, 25 years in the Army?
Yeah, 24.
25. So when you transition out, man, that's something. You're losing. Like, I know, I got buddies from the Marines that I know better than my own brother. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you're transitioning out of that tribe, and you're looking for something. You're looking for a family. You're looking for people that, like, trustworthy people, coworkers. And, man, when you fall into the Alaska State Troopers, or any law enforcement, actually, you're transitioning into a law enforcement community of trustworthy, responsible, faithful, loyal people. And it's like you have that camaraderie, that martial spirit. And so I go over there and I'm telling these guys, look, we got like, it's like almost like I have a secret. You know what I mean? This is a really good deal, but I don't want it to be a secret. I want to climb to the top of the highest mountain and be like, listen, if you are an outdoor cat, you know what I mean? An outside cat, you like to get out. You like to have something different every single day. You like to be, you're adventurous. Like if you're like an Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of person, you know what I mean? And you like to be out there doing interesting stuff. This is the job, man. Flying helicopters, working undercover, dog handler, SWAT team, explosive breach, whatever you find yourself into, responding to calls for service on snow machines, on four wheelers, on jet boats, on aircrafts, helicopters. I mean, it's so exciting. And it's one of the reasons, like, why did you join the Army?
I joined the Army because, like, in 1982, there was not much going on in rural Idaho.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, you probably couldn't wait to shoot a machine gun and throw a grenade at guy,
that was
right?
Absolutely the best thing, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't wait to shoot throw a grenade at only bad people. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it was, like, an exciting type thing to do. And the Alaska State Troopers is an exciting profession. And you get the job. You get the satisfaction of doing good for your community. It feels good to do good, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'll go out. Like, any trooper I know will go out of their way to put a pedophile behind bars, take them off the streets. If you're bringing poison into our community and slinging it on the streets and it's killing people in overdoses, I'll cross the street and go out of my way to mess up your day and put you behind bars. You know what I'm saying? Messing up our community. So what I'm getting at is, it's not for everybody. You know what I mean? If like maybe getting shot at every once in a while. Okay, like it's not every day, but like occasionally. if that's a no-go, if that's a hard stop for you and you can't live with that for a career, then maybe this isn't it for you. If being in tense, uncertain, and rapidly evolving situations where you have to stand up for yourself and stand up for a victim, that's not for you, probably not the job for you.
Right.
As you know.
Because the world needs accountants.
The world needs cops, man. I mean, you know, it's like...
Well, they need accountants.
My analogy is that there's wolves in this world, okay? And I get it. Like, they're going to be wolves. And then the world kind of needs... You can't use caribou... You can't use caribou to protect against wolves. You know what I'm saying? We're going to need at least something in the canine family to protect against it. And there's that whole, that's sort of whole like sheepdog analogy, thing. Whatever.
Yeah.
But you kind of need people who are going to stand the line, hold the line, protect the community, look out for the community. And that doesn't mean just out there like barking at the fence all the time.
Right.
Sometimes it means getting in a chili cook-off.
Barking at the sheep.
Or bark, yeah, sometimes like, hey.
I think that's probably one of the biggest things is a lot of citizens see sometimes law enforcement as the wolf. Because
yeah.
It looks a lot like the wolf sometimes.
Yeah.
And also because it barks as loud as the wolf. Yeah. But it's not barking at the sheep.
Think Malamaw.
Yeah. Or a giant wolf. Parody standing on your chest.
Yeah. I told you about that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah,
staring at you as you wake up out of your...
Like, whoa, what's happened? I got a 100-pound Pyrenees standing on my chest.
Exactly. No, I think it's a great occupation, and that was probably one of the things. Cindy and I had that conversation in, what was that, like circa 2006, as a matter of fact, because I was over in Saudi Arabia,
yes.
And the Army was like, hey, we're going to send you to, once again, tried to send me to Fort Bliss. And I was like, no, I don't want to go to Fort Bliss, and I'm mm-hmm. going to retire. And they were like, well, do what you need to do. And so I reached out to our neighbor, who was a trooper, and I was like, hey, like, what's the deal? I liked it more than anything is because I wasn't gauged, because I had it all lined up to go back and work at Fort Benning, Georgia. But I'm not being gauged on what I did in my military. It's what I bring to the organization now.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Now, some of the stuff that I did in the military and my, you know, my college and stuff like that helps. It helps with pay raises. Because if you have a four-year degree, you automatically get that 3.75 step.
Dude.
If you you can also maybe get promoted faster. Mm-hmm. You can get your advanced police certificate faster. I mean, there's all kinds of things that benefit from what you may have done, but you're not judged by what you've done in the military.
Right.
Meaning this. If you're a staff sergeant, you have a bachelor's degree, and you're trying to get a GS job, and some guy comes in who is a major, he's going to probably get it over you just because of that.
Right.
Oh, he's a West Pointer or whatever.
Yeah.
This is a job where you literally can move up based on what your actions are at the time.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it.
We hired this guy, Keenan Lausch. I hope it's okay to say his name. I'm sure he doesn't mind. Trooper from over at Fort Wainwright. He was a captain at Fort Wainwright. And he went through the process, no problems, and lots of leadership training. And then we've got a guy at the academy right now. He's going to make it through the academy. I feel confident of that. His last name's Kelly. And he was a cook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, enlisted cook at Fort Wainwright. And it doesn't matter, captain or cook, we'll take it. We'll take cooks, bakers, candlestick makers, whatever. If you want to be an Alaska State Trooper, 451-5100, give us a call. Reach out. Stop the cop shop over at 1979 Pegger Road and knock on the door and say, hey, I'm interested. And we got all kinds of stuff. Even if you're not 21 yet, I got two people right in the pipeline right now. One's 19. I sent you an email about her yesterday. Yep. She works over, I don't want to say because...
Don't.
Yeah.
But court services officer.
Yep.
That is like the hidden gem, I think, sometimes within the Alaska State
Trooper. I'm telling you. If you're not 21...
They're not commissioned state troopers. And if you're not 21 yet, you can apply for a court services officer.
Yep.
Transport prisoners,
mm-hmm.
serve all the court documents and stuff like that, much like a deputy sheriff does down in the lower 48.
Court security,
judicial security, those kind of things. And then use that maybe as a segue or a stepping stone to get some experience in and then transition over to a blue shirt or a brown shirt later on.
And how about all the good references that you get? You'll be meeting troopers and court people and judges and stuff.
Your boss is a sergeant with the Alaska State Troopers, right?
Right.
And you work under the lieutenants and the captains who are literally going to be an excellent reference for
you. So you're getting job experience. You're getting building up a bunch of references. You're building a reputation for yourself, a good, like a really positive reputation as a hard worker. Or maybe...
Maybe we don't want you to be a blue shirt.
Maybe you go over there and maybe it's not going to work out. But anyway, so there's that opportunity. If you're not maybe you're in a situation where you're like, I don't know if I want to go to college. I don't know if I'll join the military, but I want to get some kind of life experience before I become a trooper. The court service officer thing is a good gig. There, we have one vacancy in Fairbanks and several others in Anchorage and Soldotna. If people are interested in that, I would go to Workplace Alaska and look on there and pursue that, or just contact us.
Do we need to go into our break?
Sure.
All right. Awesome. Let's go into our break. When we come back, I want to talk about our community event we have coming up.
Right on. I want
to put a lot of focus on that because it ties right in with what we talked about before with Ann and Bo Weaver and the Fairbanks Food Bank.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. It's going to be awesome. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back here with Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Matt, and Boise Bell.
Hey, North Pole Fairbanks. It's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
Ben here at Auto Trim Design. Summer is moving down the road, and that means it's time to start getting ready for winter. At Auto Trim Design, we have something for everyone. Get your remote start with drone mobile, moose lights, heated seats, seat covers, tonneau covers, toppers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more before the snow flies. Auto Trim Design is your one-stop shop for all your vehicle accessory needs, located at 2550 South Cushman Street under the huge American flag. Stop in or give us a call at 456-8400.
Customized by Auto Trim.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 37. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 28 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Slight chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 37. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck Indereen at Shooter's Corner. Got Miss Boise Bell and Matt hanging around as well, like, I don't know, a bad disease you picked up at a club. But nonetheless, we have...
Wow.
Wow. Matt, you could kick him for that. Oh, I will.
That's why I keep a desk between me and him.
Take something for that.
That was bad, Chuck. That wasn't nice.
There's a shot for that. Yeah. But nonetheless, we have Captain Eric Spitzer with us from D-Detachment. We want to take that call, or is he hung up?
They're gone.
All right, perfect. Because I really want to get into what this next part anyways. That's why all I kind of right. We had to go into the break. But so we have the Alaska State Troopers. You know what? Let's hit on that real quick. There was a stereotype that you may have seen as well with the TAPS thing.
Mm-hmm.
Matt kind of alluded to it while we were on the break.
Yeah.
About how people are like, what are you going to do? Get out and be a cop? And maybe they kind of come in with that mindset already. Like, I don't want to be a cop because everybody thinks that I'm just going to be a cop. Like, can you maybe address that real quick?
Well, the same thing happened to me when I got out of the Marines. My first sergeant, you know, he was doing the business with me. Like, the same thing that you're just describing. And it made me want to be a cop. I didn't want to be like just any cop. I just want to be a trooper. And I'm not going to go into the reason why, but I had an incident that happened to me when I was 10 years old, big school bus accident. There was a Pennsylvania State Trooper that really made a change in my life and affected me early in life. But for people that are like putting that, the military does not want to let go. They want to return on their investment. They don't want to let you go. And, you know.
That because it's good on somebody's NCOER, like the retention NCOs.
Yeah, they want to retain. They put all that training into you, and then like the supervisors, if they have a bunch of attrition out of their unit, it's going to show up. Yeah, just like you say on their performance evaluation. Yeah. So they want to hold on to you, and I don't blame them. I want to hold on to our troopers. I don't want to see them move on to somewhere else either. Yeah. But where are we going with that?
I'll say with that holding on portion too, because again the. Especially with me getting out in the last few months, good leadership is just slow. It's been slowly fading away since before I got in. But you'll have those leaders that the entire time you're in could care less about your existence. You're a number. Your HR metrics. Did you show up to your dental? That's all they care about.
Until you want to get out.
The moment you say, I'm done,
yeah.
It's, what are you going to be, a cop? Oh, you're just going to be a statistic. oh, you're going to go do this or you're going to be homeless. They don't care. They just want to keep you in. And then they act like your best friend. Well, one, if they cared, they would have treated you better the entire time. Two, yeah. they would offer you the bonus, not the new guys coming in if they want to hold on to it. But the other part is it's not bad to get out and try something. And if you want to get back in, unless you're 48, you can do that. But you going to the SFL Tap Center and explaining, hey, here is what we see. Here's what we do. Hey, guess what? The pay's a lot better, too. And you help the community. That's a big buy-in. But it also is helping people who might have not known what they wanted to do, except for getting out of the military.
Yeah. When I got out, I was a 10-year staff sergeant and an E6. And I was getting, at the time, I'm going to kind of date myself here, but I was getting $27,000 a year. My first year as a state trooper, I increased my salary by four times with overtime. Yep. You know what I'm saying? It is, you are well compensated. You are appreciated. We will send you to as much training as you want. As much as you can take, we'll put on you. And it was, I felt so enlightened going from the military. Because you can only go as fast as the slowest guy in the military, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
To law enforcement, like, I'll give you an example. Like, in the military, they're like, hey, here's the M16A2 service rifle, here it is. And you're gonna be with it, spend 2 weeks taking it apart, putting it together, cleaning it, sitting around, laying in dry practice. And
This is my rifle, this is my gun.
Yeah, learn all kinds of stuff like that. And, like, in the troopers, you go to the academy, you're like, look, we don't got time for that. Like, here's your rifle, it's on the table, we're going to do a PowerPoint on it, we're going to teach you about it, we're going to pull it apart, we're going to put it together, we'll clean it, and then we're going to be on the range this afternoon.
Yep.
Like, holy cow. But the thing is, the reason why we can do that is because the vetting process is so good. We're kind of weeding out the, you know, window lickers and stuff.
Yeah.
So we can do that. We can move a little faster, you know. But, another thing I want to mention is I'm so excited about this, the topic of recruitment. Like, we're not just recruiting people. It's like an apprenticeship. You know what I mean? Kind of like an apprenticeship program where we're doing mentorship. We're bringing folks in, starting with the recruitment process. We're getting them through the recruitment process, giving them good advice and some hints and tips and best practice. Then we have this program where we'll hire somebody, especially military guys, that are getting out of the military. If they say they're taking terminal leave or something, we have this early hire program where the guy or gal comes over to the trooper post and he's there for 3 or 4 months before he goes to the academy, helping out with stuff, maybe, and this is after they've been through the entire background check and polygraph and all that kind of stuff. They're hired.
They're essentially waiting for an academy date.
Essentially just waiting for academy date. And then we're taking those folks and putting them out to the criminal suppression unit, having them review surveillance video, helping out with surveillance, processing evidence, just helping out around post, working with a SWAT team and stuff like that. Flying in the helicopter, and these guys are like, whoa, man, I'm bought in. I mean, this is a really good thing, and there's no fear of the unknown. Like, hey, when I graduate the academy and go to Fairbanks Post, like, these dudes can't wait for me to get there. You know what I mean? And attrition's not the mission. We want to get everybody over the wall. So, like, we have an investment in the future. And when you're doing recruitment, something like this here, it's you got to recruit now for 2 years down the line. Like, it's not recruiting right now, and you're going to see results tomorrow. It's you're going to see results. You have to make these investments now.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to talk about the food bank.
Yes.
I know. I was just going to break one off on you.
Right.
But anyways. Food bank.
Yeah.
Alaska State Troopers have been supporting that as well as the other organizations here in town. And I think for a couple of years maybe, like North Pole PD has slowly pulled ahead. But we have a chance this year because Chief Dutra has retired.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, he's a good guy, but I'll tell you what.
I loved him.
We're bringing our best game this year, and our goal isn't. I want to say we want to win overall. Everybody else, here's our goal as the Alaska State Troopers. We want to collect more food donations this year than we did last year. Basically, I look at it as I just want to do better than we did last year, and we didn't win last year, but we got like 40,000 pounds of food.
It was insane.
I think overall we got something like 100,000 overall. With all the departments together, but the police in this community, the troopers, the North Pole PD, and all the folks that are participating, all the agencies that are participating in this, we care about the community. We got stuff going on this year that's super important. We got the government shutdown thing going on.
Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna kind of say that a little bit too. I think this year is even more important than any other year.
Man, absolutely.
We got a continuing resolution. People are going to start losing their benefits. We have military that might not be getting
civilians
paychecks.
that are out there on food stamps,
military installations.
Yeah.
So
we're going to be at Costco. What are we? This Thursday.
Today's Thursday.
All right, so we're going to be there
tomorrow.
Costco tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's right. On Halloween, and then the 2 days after that, the Alaska State Troopers, Safety Bear is going to be there. Bring your kids out. See Safety Bear. Get a picture of Safety Bear. And it doesn't matter. It could be any amount helps. It could be one can. It could be a case of cans. It could be a turkey, whatever. Every little bit is helpful, and it's all going to the Fairbanks Community Food Bank Holiday Food Drive with Ann and Sam over there. If you haven't done this before, it's super appreciated. And this community, I've been a state trooper for a quarter century, and I've never seen a community like Fairbanks.
They work together.
I've never seen a community as generous as the community of Fairbanks here. I don't know what it is.
And I think what's even more important is that generosity this time of the year.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And I thought that was one of the primary reasons that I needed to get you on the show. We need to make sure we get that mission statement out there that if you are at Costco anytime this weekend,
yep,
stop by and just give something.
And we're going to be there from start from open to close.
I mean, we don't need like a 65-inch TV or anything.
But if somebody wanted to come by and they're like, I don't want to do the food thing, can I give you a check? Check made out to the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, not the Alaska State Troopers, the Fairbanks Community Food Bank.
Yeah.
We'll accept cash, but prefer not to. Checks are much better. And then you could make that could be your charitable donation, could be tax deductible. That's kind of nice. We got that time of year coming up in the future here. But just giving. I mean, have you ever gone to bed at night hungry when you were a kid? I did. Many times.
Like, we had ramen.
Yeah, we had ramen and hot dogs and stuff like that.
I did last night.
I was in E1. We were at Fort Riley, Kansas. Yes. I was making $400 a month.
Yeah, $385 for me. Chris. I remember it. I was in Okinawa. $385 for 2 weeks. That was my two-week check.
Yeah.
And
because Cindy was pregnant, there was a couple times where I didn't eat. But
yeah. If you are a person that's hurting and you got a family you're hurting this time of year and you need something for Thanksgiving, this food drive is a benefit of that. And it's not just for Thanksgiving. They have these food boxes at churches and things like that.
Sure. What's also cool is they also set up boxes that can go out to villages.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that.
Yeah. So literally, I know that if I go over as Alaska State Trooper and say, hey, I'm heading out to Venatire, or I'm heading out to one of the villages, our rural troopers have gone over there, picked up a couple boxes or something, and taken them out there to the villages as well.
Yeah, I'm telling the guys,
the elders.
Yeah, if we're flying out there with a caravan, empty, and then coming back with prisoners, like, the way I look at it is, like, it's an investment in our, it's an investment in the Bank of Public Trust. So when we go out to some of these communities, like, we were out at Venati one time, we dropped off some food boxes to elders, like you were talking about. Right. This guy, like, he was older than me. I'm not saying he's an old man, but he's older than me, all right? He took this food box, and he got a tear in his eye, and I'm like, everything all right? And he said, I've never had a pineapple other than in cans.
He actually got a fresh pineapple?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bananas, not so much, because they don't travel so well. But, like, right. You know, there was a pineapple in this food box. And we went to the village elders that were struggling. You know, they didn't have... They were struggling, and families that were struggling, single moms and whatnot. Man, what a great way to build public trust. I mean, like, we care about the community. Unfortunately, sometimes as part of our job, we have to come out and arrest people and stuff, and that sucks, but, you know, part of the job.
Yeah.
So I'll be at the food bank volunteering with Ann and Grace Mender the 6th of November, and then Rotary will be with them.
Yeah, we'll probably be doing another boxing with the Rotary out there as well. We did that one year.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that you collected, we go in box.
Ah!
Yeah, which is actually pretty fun as well, to be quite honest with
you. That's tough, though,
because
you have to spread it out.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to, like, make sure each box
is
got...
And it's on, like, you know, the old Ford assembly line kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, they have it down.
I was responsible for, like, rolls.
Yes, they have it down.
That's cool.
Yeah, rolls are cool.
And some of the churches actually bake homemade bread for the food bank.
Right, so even if you donate flour or yeast or sugar or whatever to the Alaska State Troopers, just understand that's going to go to the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, and then that will be parsed out to organizations.
I think. I'm not sure.
Ann told us.
Okay.
They'll parse that out, and then they bake the bread.
Yep.
They bag that up, and then that can go out to the villages or go out to boxes and stuff like that here within the community to help feed us.
And you know what? Maybe you're not into the whole Costco thing and you just want to stop by the Trooper Post. What we're going to do is we're going to have a grocery cart there at the front where the old DMV entrance used to be.
Right.
And if you want to bring in some canned goods or whatever, we'll have that. That's available there to do it that way as well. But basically what it's done is by pounds. How many pounds of food do we get? So if they do a cash donation, it goes for like 1 pound per dollar.
And we kind of joked about it at the beginning about how the whole competition and stuff like that. That competition is good.
Yeah.
But we need to fully understand that we need to just be generous people. Like if you are in a position in your life right now to where you can help somebody out and give them a hand up,
man,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
You get it back tenfold.
Tenfold. One last thing I'd like to add. Chili cook-off champion.
Yes, I heard that.
With Moose Kill.
First place.
Roadkill. Yeah, first place. What was the organization again?
That was the Fairbanks Native Association. They were doing it in furtherance of the Domestic Violence Awareness Week.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, nice. So. Congratulations.
We had a great show today. Thank you for tuning in. If you missed any part of it, remember, go to the archives and you can listen to the full show. Teresa will have it posted for us. And next week, we all have Colonel Montana Kid Hammer in here. And we'll just be talking some more stuff maybe about the Texas Rangers. Be safe. Drive with your freaking headlights on and stay warm.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening to Shooter's Corner. Stay tuned.